ask you to make a decision about them if it affects you in any way. And the first one is the Lord revealing to your heart even now that maybe an area in your life you just haven't fully surrendered to the Lord? If He is, just humbly submit that to the Lord and just give up in that area. Just say, God, this is yours. I humbly submit and surrender this area. Maybe it's your whole life. I don't know. So God, we surrender now. We surrender our thoughts, our relationships, our marriages, our children. God, the things that have been done to us in the past, we release. We thank you for the forgiveness, God, that you have extended to us and that your grace enables us to extend forgiveness to others. Any bitterness that we're holding on to, resentment, unfulfilled or unmet expectations, God, we surrender those things to you. We surrender our own failures and the way we feel about ourselves and have seen ourselves. God, we ask you for forgiveness, Lord, that we haven't even viewed ourselves the way you do. Glory be to God. So we just fully surrender to you, God. Our minds, our feelings, our emotions, our thought life. God, we ask you to redeem some of the bad choices we've made. I just feel like somebody really feels like they've made a bad choice in their life and they're stuck. And I just hear the Lord saying, just trust me, put your faith, surrender all to me. I'll redeem that choice. God can do some crazy, miraculous things. And He can do it so fast. He can do it in an instant. He can change and reverse things so quickly. Glory be to God. Can we maybe just sing just a short part of that surrender song again? Neighbors would surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. We just decree now that there be a surrendering that would sweep across our nation, even in government and politics, in each of the seven mountains of society. There would be a surrendering to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In every denomination, to the Baptists, the Methodists, the Lutherans, the Catholics, every denomination, there would be a complete and total surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ. That we would lay down our personal agendas at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. And we call for the temple, the place of God, would be a house of prayer for all nations. For every tongue, for every tribe, for every culture and subculture, in Jesus' mighty name. Glory be to God. Glory, glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, you all could be seated if you want to. I told you I had a couple things. Here's the second one. And maybe this might be for somebody, or it might just be good information. Whatever. But sometimes, and I've found this in my journey with the Lord, you know, we have this saying in Christendom, you know, I haven't arrived yet. Well, that's obvious. none of us have arrived. I don't know that we'll ever arrive. In whatever definition that means, we're on a journey with the Lord, and I personally believe we'll be learning about Him for eternity. I don't know that we can ever exhaust the knowledge of God and the vastness of Him. But anyway, in my journey with the Lord, I've noticed, and I just hope this maybe helps somebody, that, I don't know about you, God gave us emotions, right, and feelings, and I love what we might call those Holy Ghost goosebumps or the feelings we get when we know God is near or God's pleased with us, we just know it, or we're just, you know, in a wonderful time of worship or whatever it might be. And we like that feeling, and I've noticed that in my journey again that as I've felt the Lord near, I like it. But when I don't feel the Lord near, I don't really like it. And two things. One is, I just have to go by what He already told me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. Even when I don't feel it, He's always there. He's just always there. No matter what I'm going through, what He's taking me through, the turmoil, the emotions, the whatever issue or problem or trial or persecution, He's always there. And just knowing that and having it settled in my heart. The second thing that I've noticed that sometimes the Lord does, because He's such a lover. I mean, if you've ever experienced God, He's just a lover, and He loves relationship. And He loves to take each of us, it's just amazing how He does this, on our own personal journeys of just love and relationship, and how He shows us things and teaches us things and speaks to us in a variety of different ways. And the way the Lord speaks to me may be a little different than the way He speaks to you. But I've noticed this, that as He has pursued me or I have pursued Him, like the Song of Solomon even talks about, and we have that nearness, that sometimes the Lord does this. If you're in a journey like this of a love relationship, He kind of takes a couple steps back sometimes. Sometimes He hides Himself behind a lattice. You know what I'm talking about? And you know why He does that? So that we'll search for Him. We will seek Him. It's just, is it okay to talk about the Lord this way? Just a lover-love relationship that as we seek Him, and He even said, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find. And that means ongoing. Now, He wasn't just talking about a relationship with Him, but I think that's primary. That sometimes when we feel like, and I've seen people do this, and I did this early in my journey, when we feel like, oh, we're so close to the Lord, and all of a sudden He's taking a step back in the journey, it's like, oh, there must be sin. Well, there could be. Or because of that, I've seen people just kind of give up in their pursuit of the Lord and just quit altogether. Is this making sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? But first, the primary thing with the Lord is He wants that love relationship. That's eternal. Yes, He wants to answer your prayer and He wants to do things for you. Yes, but that's not what the relationship with the Lord can be all about all of the time. You know, when we are just in a love relationship with the Lord, sometimes He just does the things that are in our hearts and the desires of our hearts without us even asking. Hello. We don't. There are some things we just don't even have to pray about. Now, He asks us and tells us to pray and to ask Him for some things, but sometimes He'll just do it. Just like you, married couples or whatever. Sometimes you'll just give a gift because you want to give it. They didn't even ask for it. You understand what I'm saying here? And that kind of love relationship. And so if you feel that way, maybe He's just wanting you to pursue Him a little bit more and to seek Him out. Amen? I hope that made some kind of sense. Some announcements here really quick. Our unity gathering with a few other churches is Sunday evening at 6 p.m., August 17th. It'll be at Susquehanna Baptist. It's in your bulletin. Now, that morning, Sunday morning, August 17th, Kamal Saleem is going to be here with us. And I am really excited about that. If you guys don't know who he is, he's an ex-Muslim terrorist, got born again back in the 80s, has a ministry called Qum Ministries. His biography, a book is out there, and some other things, other books that he carries with him are out there. If you want to pick one of those up, you're welcome to do that to familiarize yourself. But Kamal's just a wonderful, wonderful man. He's just the real deal guy, too. And we have become friends, and he's really become friends with our congregation, and this he sees us as his home. As a matter of fact, every time I talk to him, he tells me to tell you, and I just don't because I forget, that he loves you guys and just asks about you and tells me that he's praying for this congregation and for you. So I'm really excited and looking forward to having him come. Anybody else? Two of you. Okay, well, we'll have a good time. So he'll be here, and then Brenda's working with the kids downstairs. Is that right, Brenda Craven? Brenda's book is now in print. So she brought some this morning. I just set them out there right on top of Kamal's books because I didn't know what to do with them real quick. But they're $15 a piece if you would like to pick one of those up and support her. And then next Sunday, I believe the time is 1 to 3. Is that right, Bill, the book signing? She's going to have a book signing here 1 to 3 next Sunday. It's called Blessings in Disguise, a lot about her life. She is also a trained and certified Christian counselor as well. And that's out there. That's exciting. That's just awesome. Praise God. Well, let's jump into some word today. I don't know if I'm going to preach or teach or talk or discuss, but we're going to do something here. Maybe all three and take some questions. I do want to finish up with, we kind of finished 2 weeks ago, finished up a little bit, but I want to touch on just a couple things and then move on to a whole nother topic. So this is kind of a split Sunday. But we finished up talking about husbands and wives, but specifically women. And how many of you like women? Does anybody kind of like women? You appreciate women? There's five of you. Anybody else? you know, women are perhaps the most oppressed people group in the world, and in many different nations, and to some degree in our own nation, and to some degree in the body of Christ. And that's something I just have a little bit of a passion to see women fulfill the role God's created them to fulfill, especially in the body of Christ, and within marriages. Because there's just so much teaching, and it's just odd and weird teaching in the body of Christ about marriages and the role of men and women. And we've discussed all of those kinds of things. But I want to ask you to turn to 1 Peter 3, chapter 3, verse 7, and kind of finish up a little bit on what he was saying and what we already kind of discussed. So I'm going to jump right in here. In verse 7, which is partly through the paragraph here, it says, "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker." Now, it's very clear that the Bible didn't say that the woman is weaker. We do know, obviously, women aren't necessarily as a whole physically stronger than men, although there's many women that are stronger than many men. I believe that this is specifically targeting that women in society, in the culture of the day, were weak, meaning they didn't have any standing in the culture. Since she is a woman, and I believe that statement right there confirms that, because women were looked down on, as we've already discussed a lot into. Show her honor. Now, that was a big deal then. I think it's kind of a big deal today. For husbands to show their wives honor, not just in the home, but in the public square.
as a fellow heir of the grace of life. And then this statement is what I kind of want to just focus on for a minute. So that your prayers will not be hindered. Let me go ahead and read verses 8 and 9 and then we'll come back to that. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing. So he's talking about unity and harmony, and especially relationships. Relationships, relationships, relationships. That's the absolute most important thing in the kingdom of God. There is nothing more important than relationships. First and foremost, our relationships with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our daddy. And then our relationships with one another. Our titles, our occupations, the things of this world aren't going with us. They're temporary. What's eternal is our relationships. And it's so sad to me to see how many Christians want to segment themselves, especially from other brothers and sisters or denominations or whatever. I mean, do we think that there's going to be, you know, different areas in heaven that we're just going to be separated from one another? I mean, we're living with each other for eternity. I mean, just grasp that. See, we've got the opportunity now in this life to learn, to work it out, how to get along with one another. You know, when we step into, see, really, I say, what I'm going to say is just for understanding, but I believe the Bible is very clear. We're, eternity is not some far and far away thing. Eternity's now. We've stepped into eternity. We're just going to change a little location. Actually, we're not really changing our location because we're going to be here in on earth, and the earth is going to be restored. It says the meek shall inherit the earth. So we have the opportunity now to work out and learn how to get along. It's quiet. I'm just going to talk back. How we have the opportunity now how to learn to love one another. To work out our differences. See, when we leave this age, that's probably a better way to put it, I'm still going to have my personality. I'm not going to be changed into some kind of robot, neither are you. I don't know if you've ever really thought about certain things of eternity and what it's like. I think a lot of Christians think that as soon as we get there, that all of a sudden we are Jesus-like. You know, it's just meaning Christ-like. And then immediately we're going to know everything and all of it. I think our mind and our understanding is going to be greatly, you know, enlarged. But we're not going to know everything. Bible doesn't say that. We do know that in heaven and in eternity, I don't even know why I'm talking about all this yet, that there has been disagreements in the past, like with Lucifer, and it doesn't last long. There has been disagreements in heaven before, like we have it in the Word, with Lucifer and a third of the angels, but it doesn't last long. It's not put up with. So, what is being spoken here, specifically with so that your prayers will not be hindered, is how are you husbands treating your wives? And we can turn it around too. And wives, how are you treating your husbands? How is your marriage? How is your marriage relationship? How are you honoring one another? Because we've got quite a few scriptures like Matthew 5:23, which is just an astounding scripture to me. If you're presenting your offering at the altar and remember that your brother or wife or husband, because first and foremost, your wife is your sister, spiritually speaking. Your husband is your brother, spiritually speaking. If you're presenting your offering, you're coming and presenting your body, because that's what we do, Romans 12:1, that we present our bodies as living sacrifices to the Lord. And in that moment, and we remember that there is some unforgiveness, bitterness perhaps, relationship issue. I'm just going to put some Joe speak to this. Stop. Matthew 5:23. If you are presenting your offering at the altar and you remember that your brother, your sister, your wife, your husband has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go first be reconciled to your brother, then come back. I mean, we either going to live by the word or we're not. Here's some more Joe speak. You're just wasting your time. You're trying to worship the Lord and give and all of this stuff. And you got some stuff that you haven't taken care of. You're wasting your time. This is the only thing I know that Jesus says this. In a relationship issue, don't even give me an offering until you take care of that. I mean, that's just, wow. Here's another place in Matthew 6:14. And he says this when he's teaching us how to pray. If you have not forgiven, you're not forgiven. And how many Christians go, well, I'm forgiven. But they're holding other people in unforgiveness and bitterness and chains and bondage and the way they look and the dishonor and the disrespect and how we're treating one another. I mean, this goes deep, guys. This is... See, we can't continue to honor God with our lips and deny him by our behavior. The world's watching. Forget about the world. God's watching. Is this thing we call Christianity or a relationship with the Lord, is it a real thing or is it just something attached to our life as something that we just do because it makes us feel better and we hope to go to heaven when it's over? You still glad you came this morning? 1 Corinthians talks about when he was talking about the Lord's Supper. And I'll paraphrase greatly here. And he says, look, you guys are coming together. You're having this big old meal. And he says, poor people are coming in and they can't bring anything. And you guys are over here eating. And you're really making a judgment. You know the story, right? You know the scripture. Because their communion was not... then was not like what we do communion. We have a little wafer and a little small cup, a shot thing, and we do it, and that's it. It was a meal. And we called a love feast, and it was meals, a communion meal. And so people would bring food and have food, and the ones that could bring, they were all eating over here, but the ones that didn't have much, they're just eating their little and not a lot of sharing. And there was all kinds of other chaos and disorder going on in the congregation. And he talks about, Paul specifically lays out communion and how Jesus showed him what to do and how to do it. And then at the end, he says that many of you are weak, sick, and some of you have even died early because of your judgment towards one another, how you've treated and related towards one another. This is power. I mean, this is just, it's so important. I believe there are many Christians today that are diseased in their body and sick because they've harbored bitterness and unforgiveness, and they haven't released that, and they're not going to get healed until that is accomplished, until that's done. I mean, relationship issues are a huge, huge, huge issue. It's everything. In the kingdom. The whole kingdom of God exists because of relationship. Jesus came because of relationship. Everything God did was because of relationship. Everything. It's so, so vitally important. And I think we take it for granted. We ignore it. We believe that God's just going to bless us and love us and, you know, all of these things, regardless of how we treat one another, how we speak to one another, how we treat one another, especially in a marriage. You know, a marriage is a representation of our union with the Lord. It is part of God's created order, marriage between one man and one woman. There's no other earthly relationship that is like that. And it typifies our union with the Lord, our oneness with Him. I mean, He even said when the two come together, they shall become what? One flesh. That's the hardest thing to ever do, is to work that out. And it takes an extreme amount of humility and brokenness before the Lord. But we have to take seriousness. I mean, here, He's even saying it in the marriage relationship. It's like, look, if you're treating your wives, He's specifically talking to husbands, but we can flip it around. If you're treating your spouse, even being dishonoring to them, look, your prayers are being hindered. You want to know why? One of the reasons why your prayers aren't being answered? Here's it. This is it. One reason. Or how we treat our bosses or others that are in places of authority, or just how we treat people. It's so important. Have I made enough of the point? Which leads me into, we talked about this several weeks ago, and I've been saying that we're going to talk about it again, so I'm going to bring it up again, and if there's any questions that you have, please raise your hand. I would love to talk about this, because this is something that I don't think is talked about enough.